For the last 6 weeks, we've been studying the eternal decree of God. And there are times who knows what God's doing. You look at our nation. The spiritual decay. Turning away from God. Denying God. And we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. Today, we need to stop and reflect on the Lord, what He has doing, what He's doing in our lives today. To be encouraged and to be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. These times are so difficult and so trying that we can become so overwhelmed with all the negativity that's thrown at us 24/7 that it can cast a shadow on the hope that we have in Christ. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. In preparation to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we need to reflect on the Lord. Who He is and what He's accomplished and what He's doing in our lives. To be reminded of the great hope that we have. And the joy and the peace that we do have in the depths of our hearts. But there are times it needs to come up to the surface of all we've endured. Let's pray before we study. Shall we pray together? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves in Your presence. And we come with confidence to Your throne of grace to continue worshiping You, seeking Your face, for You're seeking those who would worship You. And so, Father, we come to study Your Word, to be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. In this world that is so chaotic and so unpredictable, so full of ungodliness and unrighteousness. Sometimes it's just hard to make it through a day. So Lord, as we're here today, focused on You, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts by Your Spirit from Your Word. Remind us of the hope that we have in Christ. And then as we come to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, strengthen us by the faith You've given us and the grace You impart to us. So may our hearts be open and receptive to Your teaching, that Your children would be strengthened and encouraged. And oh, how we pray for those here today who do not know Jesus as Savior. Oh, that You would reveal Yourself to them in Your love and grace and mercy, Your forgiveness, and then would receive Jesus as Savior and experience that love and that peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand for the reading of God's holy word? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. You may be seated. In the first three verses of this chapter 2, Paul lays out the spiritual condition that we all were in at one time. Notice he says that in verse 1, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. We were dead in trespasses and sin. What does it mean to be dead? Spiritually dead. There cannot be any response whatsoever from someone who has died. We've been there. We've stood beside loved ones and friends that God has called to Himself. And family speak to the body as if it can speak back, and there's no response. That's what spiritual death is. Not any spiritual response because of the spiritual deadness. Notice they're dead in trespasses and sin. In trespasses here means a deviation from the right way to live. How God has revealed to us clearly in His Word how we are to live, what He expects and requires. And we go against that when we deviate from it. The word sin generally means missing the mark, but a deeper meaning is it's rejecting God and asserting ourselves. So wherever we reject the teaching of God and God Himself and we assert our own ways, that's sin. And we're dead. It's deadly. In verse 2 it says, we following the course of this world. The word world here means that which is hostile to God. So we are hostile to God when we follow the ways of the world. Following the prince of the power of the air. This is Satan. We see again in Ephesians 6. The spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The evil within those who are not believers. And they're called sons of disobedience. Disobedient there means to be obstinate toward God. It's not just a passive rebellious attitude. It's in your face, I'm not going to do this. That's a non-believer. Then look at verse 3. It says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. We were all there at one time. And then it's the passions of the flesh, the desire to do that which is forbidden by God. We followed that with that because we didn't have Christ as our Savior. The passions of the flesh literally refer to a fallen nature. Carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. The word wrath there means God's settled indignation on someone. God's settled indignation on someone. Some of you might be thinking, oh my God, it's a God of wrath. The God of love, He would never do that. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 36. Turn with me to John 3, 36. Everybody knows John 3, 16. But are we aware of John 3, 36? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Look at that. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Every one of us here today who has Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. You trust in Christ alone for salvation. And then he goes on to say, but whoever does not, and you have the word obey. That word literally in the Greek is believe. So you would literally translate this phrase, whoever does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. The word wrath here is the same one back in Ephesians, God's settled indignation. The verb to remain upon means to remain upon. It's in the present tense, so it's wherever that person goes, including to church. So if any of you here right now and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got the wrath of God on you at this present time. And it will remain upon you until such time you trust in Christ as your Savior. Then that wrath is removed and that love and grace and mercy and peace is put in its place. That's where we all were at one time. Look at verse 4 back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But God. Oh, what a great phrase. But God. Showing God's got a plan over here. Even though you're in this sin and you're an object of His wrath, there's something else over here that you can have. And notice He's rich. He's rich in His great love. Notice the word great. Great love with which He has loved us. That's agape. It's a love of choice. God decided to love those He's chosen. It's a love of commitment. God has committed Himself to us in Christ. And it's a love of loyalty. He won't back out on you. He won't desert you. He's going to be there with you and for you into eternity. This is a God that loves us. Let's keep on going. Notice we're made alive together with Christ. Spiritually alive. Then we have a soul that is spiritually alive and in communion with Christ. And we understand the things of God at that point. Now, let's continue on in verse 6. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, this is written like we're supposed to be sitting with Christ in heaven right now, isn't it? But we're not there, are we? We're sitting here. But it's written as if it's already happened. And you know what? The day will come when you and I will be sitting in heaven with Christ Jesus. That's the hope. That's what we have to look forward to. It's real. It's going to happen either at our death or the second coming of Christ. We're going to be there. You got a reserved seat in heaven. We get excited about going to ball games and movies and concerts and having reserved seats. They're nice. You can walk in, sit right down in your seat. It's nice to have that. But brothers and sisters, the best reserved seat you'll ever have is in heaven. And it's there. And the Lord's just waiting on your day when He calls each of us home and sit with Christ. Oh, the great hope that we have. Notice also in verse 7, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see that prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus? It's all through this passage. It's all through this book of Ephesians. Everything is in Christ. And we have it all in Christ. We experience this to some degree in this life. Every believer could stand right now and give a brief testimony of God's love and grace and mercy, His provision, His protection, His leading us. We can all bear testimony of Him doing that with us. But can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven where there's no sin? There's no ungodliness and no unrighteousness. And this is just going to be abundantly given to us. Oh my goodness, it's going to be awesome. And all of this is in Christ. Now, let's continue on. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved by faith, not of works. You see, the person who is not a believer, who is spiritually dead, their reasoning is, and we've all been there, if I'm good enough, if I do enough good that outweighs the bad stuff I do, I'll get into heaven. In Proverbs, we read, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And if you're thinking like that, you're dead in the water. You have no hope because you don't have Christ as your Savior. You can't do enough good works to get into heaven because it's by grace you have been saved through faith, through the ability to believe that Jesus is God's only Son, that He did indeed come into this world and die for your sins and was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. The minute you try to work for a gift, that is no longer a gift. It's something you've tried to pay for. That nullifies the gift. So we can't earn it. We can't pay for it. We receive a gift of love. God loves us. He wants us to be with Him in heaven. So He gives us this gift of salvation, freeing us from the bondage of sin and death, dwelling in us by His Holy Spirit, leading us every day, enabling us to walk, to live lives that are pleasing to Him. But this life is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Oh, I found the Lord. Yeah, I decided to follow Jesus. No, you didn't. Remember, you're dead. You can't follow anybody until the Spirit of God works in your heart and brings you spiritual life. And then you follow Him. You're dead in trespasses and sins. So clear in this passage. And then in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are His workmanship. That word workmanship is a great word. It means product. It means a product. You are a product of the Spirit of God working in you. The best advertisement any business can have, whatever their product might be, is the public that uses that product and says, hey, you got to go get one of these, man. It works great. Don't buy this thing. I really was taking advantage of here. Trash it. Now, which one are you going to buy? You're going to get the one that works, the one that's good, the one that is high quality. You and I are a product of the true and living God because He has called us to Himself through His Son, Christ. He's freed us from the bondage of sin and death. We are His workmanship. Look at the prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus. What are we created for? Good works. Good works. The word good there means to have a quality of holiness. All of us in our jobs should be doing a job that's pleasing to the company that we've been hired. We want to do our best for that company. But there's a notch higher that we need to please, and that's God. Everything that you and I do, it doesn't matter what we do, we should do it to the glory of God. We should do it in such a fashion that God says, well done, well done. That's a good work. And it doesn't matter what that work is. It's the attitude that we have toward it. It's the quality that we produce. And you and I have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. People can see our good works. When Jesus says, you're the light of the world, let your light so shine that they may see what? Your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. May they see the gospel of Jesus Christ in everything that we think, in everything that we say, in everything that we accomplish. And so we should have that light of the gospel shining forth. You say, I'm not an evangelist. Yeah, you are. Jesus in Matthew 28 said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go. And the word go does not mean go into the world. The word go means, literally means, go through your life. As you walk through life day by day, you're going through life. And what are we supposed to do? Make disciples of all nations. Notice it doesn't say save anybody. It says make a disciple. Point them to one that they need to follow, and that is Jesus Christ. I told the Sunday school class this morning, this week I got off the elliptical stumbling all around, ready to die. And this gentleman walks up to me and we just started talking. I had passed him a couple of times on the track and we had spoken. And we just started a conversation. There's something about that man that seemed a little different in a good sense. And he was talking about the deplorable conditions of the world. And I said, you know, the Lord is sovereign and we trust in Christ. He's going to take care of us. And he said, yeah, I believe that. And then he shared his testimony with me. We encouraged each other 3 to 5 minutes. Had it been a non-believer, I would have had the opportunity to tell him about Christ. You see how easy that is? We can talk about everything in this world but Jesus Christ. Football season. Let's stand and give the scores from yesterday. But can you quote the scripture? You see how messed up we are. God called us for good works, and one of those good works, and the most important, is going out in that world, living righteous lives, and giving the opportunity to talk to people about Christ. That's why we have salvation. That's why God is sanctifying us. So we have the opportunity, as we go through the day, of talking to people about Christ. And then there might be days we don't talk to anybody about Christ, but they observe us and they see us. But it's all about Christ and not about me, not about us. It's all about Christ. And look what Christ has done for us. We were dead in trespasses and sin. He came and He died for your sins and mine. He was raised from the dead. And because He was raised from the dead, we're going to be raised from the dead. We're freed from the bondage of sin and death. We have life. And the day is going to be when we're going to be seated with Him in heaven. Whoa! You can't get any better than that. So when we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let's think about Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. But you must begin by knowing that you trust in Christ alone for salvation. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we praise your holy and majestic name and thank you for what you've taught us from your word about the salvation that we have in Christ. I pray that your children have been spiritually refreshed and strengthened and encouraged by your Spirit and your Word. And I pray, Father, that those here who do not know Jesus as Savior have realized that as you reveal that to them by your Spirit. And they would believe that Jesus is your Son and ask Him for forgiveness of their sin and trust Him to become their Savior and their Lord. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.